The economies of Morocco and Mauritius register stunning growth, and the Kenya shilling is putting up a fight. From over 1,400 cities in 140 countries, we bring you the Good Morning Africa podcast. Good morning, Africa, and welcome aboard your pulse on everything business in Africa. I am Ruth Adong. For more, follow us on Twitter at The K Financial, and you can find me at Ruth Adong. Your main story is brought to you by BK Capital, Rwanda's investment powerhouse. Elevate your franc investments with the Aguka Unit Trust Fund, offering impressive returns of up to 10.4%. Dive deeper into the world of this and more opportunities at www.bkcapital.rw. We return with our conversation on the race to reskill the labor market. In this episode, Jeff Magyong-Caldo, CEO of Coursera, addresses the impact of technology and AI on skilling outcomes. Will there be a closing of the learning outcome gaps with the current speed of evolution in edutech?
Yeah, so it's pretty exciting. I mean, clearly, if you're into education, anything with education is exciting. But people often say that talent is equally distributed, but opportunity is not. And to a large degree, technology has made that true. Technology has created greater gaps between the haves and the have-nots. But I think that COVID really was a chance for people to try something that showed a new path to education, where online learning creates a far more accessible and flexible way of learning a wide range of skills. And what also came along with it is remote work. So the idea that anyone anywhere has the chance to learn whatever skills are valuable to further, you know, their life ambitions. And increasingly, anyone anywhere, if you learn the skills and have the right credentials, those credentials could be a college degree, they could also be an industry certificate. If you have the right skills and knowledge, you could increasingly not only learn from anywhere, but work from anywhere. And this could be, I think, one of the biggest breakthroughs. Now, as it relates to AI, there's a lot of opportunity. There are some threats. I think there's something that's important, a distinction between more traditional AI and generative AI. With more traditional AI, it was much more about the builders of these systems. Much more about the builders of the system. Can you hire people with the skills to build an AI system? It's a pretty concentrated group. And the skills are quite technical. They're very difficult to learn. With generative AI, it's a little bit different. It's not just how it works. It's how it's used. Generative AI will be a tool, a thinking tool, and a work and productivity tool that will be able to change the opportunity set for almost everybody in the world. And research is coming out that is showing that there is a disparate impact in terms of performance improvement from people who use these generative AI tools. Notably, at least among knowledge workers, those with less experience have a bigger improvement in their capabilities when they use generative AI tools than those with more experience. So this could close some of the performance and experience gaps. Now, in order to make it accessible, you need to obviously have good content that people can trust. So we work with big institutions, you know, universities and industry partners to do that. You need to have good content that teaches the job-relevant skills. But you also are seeing now a new way to learn. And Bill Gates yesterday on the CNBC Davos report that Shireen did, she said, what's the most exciting thing you've seen at Davos? He said two things. He said, the future of healthcare that's going to be changed because of this technology. And the number two thing he said was personalized learning, because generative AI will not only give you the content and the credentials and the knowledge, it will give every single person a personalized coach or tutor that will help them, independent of your current experience level, will help people get a more equal access to someone who can explain things, contextualize things, map things into the skills you need, and the careers that you might pursue if you learn those skills. So it's not just the content, it's also the way that you learn. And what we've done at Coursera, which I'm also very excited about, is completely transform the language accessibility. So we have 6,000 courses on Coursera, most of them authored in English. It cost us $10,000 to translate one course into one language until 6 months ago. It now costs us $20. We have now translated 4,000 courses from the top universities and the top industry partners in the world into 18 languages. We have another 10 to 20 coming. So language will decreasingly be a barrier. How much you make and where you currently come from, I think, is going to be decreasingly a barrier. And then it becomes affordability. And it becomes sort of learner support. I'll say institutional support. So we work with governments, we work with businesses, and we work with higher education systems to make sure it's not just or not only people going to Coursera.org, but people also getting support from their communities and institutions that serve them so that they get the same kind of support that someone who maybe came from a more privileged background.
And a quick look at the market. The market segment is powered by the Development Bank of Rwanda. We empower you. In 2 months to the end of March, the Kenyan local currency has strengthened by 30 unit value, a 19% gain. The gain is almost half the value it had lost in 4 years since early 2020 when it started weakening. It had weakened to lows of 161 as of January 2024 from highs of 100 in 2020. The Central Bank of Kenya quoted the shilling at 131.8 during the week ending March 28th. The strengthening of the shilling is attributed to the successful settlement of the inaugural $2 billion buyout plan, where the government paid back $1.5 billion in February, boosting investor confidence. A strengthening shilling means relief to customers as a reduced burden of importation costs consequently trickles down to them, prompting a decrease in the general cost of living. Crude oil futures rose to around $83.5 per barrel on Monday, hitting the highest levels in 5 months as investors look forward to OPEC Plus's joint ministerial meeting this week. The group is expected to review market fundamentals and member conformity to production targets and is widely anticipated to retain current output policies. Russian Deputy Prime Minister Alexander Novak said that focus for oil companies shall be on cutting output rather than exports in the second quarter, as the country tries to meet OPEC Plus production targets. Elsewhere, investors continue to assess the impact of the Ukrainian drone strikes on Russian refineries and peace efforts in Gaza on the supply outlook. On the demand side, official data showed that Chinese manufacturing activity expanded for the first time in 6 months in March, bolstering the oil demand outlook in the world's top crude importer. And a quick trip around Africa. Fitch Ratings has Kenya's credit rating at B with an outlook accorded as negative, reflecting the sovereign's large funding needs, external financing risks, high domestic financing costs, and challenges to fiscal consolidation. The global rating firm, however, noted the government's stronger commitment to narrowing the budget deficit. Fitch says Kenya's rating is supported by the authority's fiscal consolidation plans and monetary policy tightening anchored by an IMF program, recent recovery in the macroeconomic environment, and strong medium-term growth prospects. However, the sovereign rating is constrained by weak governance, high interest payments, a narrow revenue base, and high external indebtedness. Kenya's sovereign external financing requirement has increased sharply in the current fiscal year ending June 2024 to about $5.5 billion, up from $2.6 billion in 2023, mainly due to higher principal repayment, including the $2 billion payment for the inaugural bond taken in 2014. Morocco's GDP advanced by 4.1% year-on-year in quarter four of 2023, following a 2.8% rise in the previous three-month period and compared to a 0.7% growth in the same period of 2022. This was the strongest growth rate since the last quarter of 2021, propelled by robust fixed investment, which jumped by 19.6%. At the same time, household consumption rose by 3% and government spending grew by 4.6%. On the external front, exports demonstrated resilience, growing by 4.6%, while imports surged by 13.3%. Among the key economic activities, the agricultural sector expanded by 5.8%, and non-agriculture one rose by 4.1%, mainly boosted by mining. Also, manufacturing, accommodation, food service activities, transport and storage, and finance recorded significant growth. The economy of Mauritius expanded by 7.3% from a year ago in quarter four of 2023, following an upwardly revised 5.3% rise in the prior three-month period. Notable growth was recorded in construction, agriculture, forestry and fishing, accommodation and food service activities, information and communication, transport and storage, and financial and insurance activities. At the same time, output rose faster in professional, scientific and technical activities, wholesale and retail trade, repair of motor vehicles and motorcycles, real estate activity, manufacturing, among others. In 2023, the economy advanced by 7% compared to 8.9% a year before. Thank you for always waking up with us. Good Morning Africa is a product of the K Financial. If you have suggestions or you just want to check out more stories, visit the website. That's thekfinancial.com. And don't forget to subscribe. You can also find us on all social media platforms at the K Financial. And you can find me at Wisdom.